Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 1st, 2010.
That's right, Woodchuck Chuckers. It's Groundhog Day!
No, it's not. That's not till tomorrow. But you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil?
No, Dr. Dick, I just said that. You know how I keep telling you that the Erotic Mind podcast series is all about conversations with noted erotic artists of every stripe from all over the world, right? And how our discussions are geared to uncovering something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form, right? Well then, today we take an audio field trip to Europe, Luxembourg to be exact, so we can chat with the amazing Spanish-born erotic visual artist and illustrator David Cantero. Sometimes when we travel abroad like this, there can be a bit of a language barrier between me and the artist I'm interviewing, but David is such a good sport. Despite the fact that his English is not as good as his French or Spanish, he still agreed to talk with us, with just one proviso, that he could invite his two English-speaking friends, Sean and Julian, to join him while he chatted. So today's podcast has a bit of a party atmosphere. David's friends lend a hand with translation when necessary, and we all have a marvelously good time.
No. Nobody honks this horn but me, okay, pal?
Okay, you keep your horn to yourself. But y'all need to absolutely visit David on his website and get an eyeful of his delicious artwork. You can find him at davidcantero.com. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my help, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
You're incredible.
Yes, I am. Thank you for recognizing. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, David, and thank you for joining us. I am so delighted that we could make this time to be together, especially since you are on the other side of the world from me. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, nice people.
And today we have something special, sex fans. David is here with two of his friends, English-speaking friends, just in case we have problems communicating, his friends, who he will introduce in a moment, and they will be able to translate for David, and we'll get on with the show. Okay, David, introduce yourself and your friends.
Okay, my name is David Cantero, and I am an illustrator, and my friends are here because my English is very bad, so they can help me if I need it. There is a Sean.
Sean, yes.
Hello. Hi, yeah.
Hi, Sean.
Hello. How are you?
it's a friend, and we work together in the studio, the cartoon animation studio.
I see. And is Sean there with his boyfriend, or is he by himself?
No, I'm here with my boyfriend.
Yeah. And his boyfriend, Julien.
Julien.
Yeah.
Excellent. I understand Julien and Sean are really pretty.
Yes.
I see. Well, there you go. We'll have to see pictures later to verify this kind of thing, because Dr. Dick doesn't settle for just any old pretty. We want to see real pretty. All right. So, David, I've been spending a great deal of time on your site, cleverly named davidcantero.com. It's such a beautiful place to visit, and there's enough eye candy there to last a very long time. It is both playful and exceptionally erotic. It appears that you really love your work. Is that true?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoy to make my stories in paper.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all in my head, and I enjoy to create it in.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful that you're able to do that for us, because what would the world be like if we couldn't see your artwork?
Mm. Yeah.
So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Can you tell us something about yourself, where you were born and where you live now, etc.?
Okay. I was born in Cartagena. I have to say in English. Cartagena is in the south of Spain.
Ah.
Yes, in the coast.
Yes.
The Mediterranean coast.
Yes.
And I was born 37 years ago. and now I'm living and working in Luxembourg. Sorry. And in a cartoon animation studio called Picture Factory.
The Picture Factory?
The Picture Factory.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we work in different series,
uh-huh,
cartoon animation series.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I publish my comic books in Spain.
You do?
Yeah, and I start to sell it in France.
Uh-huh.
And I try to find an editor in America,
yes,
in USA.
Yes.
I'll be published probably by Class Comic.
Oh, how wonderful. Good for you.
Patrick Fillion.
Yes, yes.
This year, maybe they publish my new series, Keys.
Yes. Keys. Uh-huh. So how did you come to be in Luxembourg?
Because I have friends here.
Ah.
Well, I study with friends.
I see. So you studied there?
No, I study in Belgium.
Uh-huh. Oh.
But in Luxembourg, it's so small.
Yes.
That they don't have superior school.
Yes.
High school.
University.
No
universities. So the young people here have to move for study.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of students go to Belgium to study, and that's why I have a lot of friends in Luxembourg.
I see. Excellent. So how did you get your start as an artist?
Oh, I always drawing.
Since you were a kid.
Yes.
Wow.
It's my best way to express myself.
Right.
Yeah. And for me, it's not work. It's more passion.
I see.
I need it. I need to draw. I need to imagine things.
Uh-huh.
Because there's too much stories in my head. I need to. Yes.
I see. Mm-hmm. And if they don't come out, then you go cuckoo. Is that it?
Yes, I became crazy or not. So,
what a happy thought. Mm, well,
but
so, and then how did you get your start as an erotic artist?
It was in Spain,
mm-hmm,
7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I started to work for some discotheques.
Wow.
In Barcelona or other place,
mm-hmm,
and I made the flyers.
Yeah, and posters and stuff like that. I've seen some of your work. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. It's the publicity for gay discos.
Right.
and people start to recognize my line,
style.
My style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I started to make a comic book, erotic, mm-hmm. gay.
Mm-hmm.
I started 8 years ago.
Okay. I'm going to ask you much more about your comic books in a little while. So hold on to that thought.
Okay.
So I've had this running discussion with several of the other artists that I've interviewed for this series, and it concerns the distinction between artist and illustrator. And I'd like you to weigh in on this, if you will. Are you an artist or an illustrator or both?
Oh, my God. I think I'm the both.
Yes, good.
But I think I'm more than that.
Yes. of course you are, darling.
I think we are all, we have all different ways to express us. So,
uh-huh.
But yeah, both and different things.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see a distinction between artist and illustrator?
No, because an illustrator is an artist.
Yes.
For me.
You know, it's funny though that some people get really upset and you know, artists are artists and illustrators are illustrators and illustrators are less than artists, at least according to some folks, which seems a little odd to me, but there you have it.
It's strange.
Yeah.
No difference.
So a lot of your illustrations and comics are very sexy. And they represent a kind of idealized masculinity and femininity. Do you work from models, or are these just products of your own imagination?
Is they come from my imagination?
Yes.
And I have a different fun. I have an analyze look. No, okay, you can say that. J'analyse beaucoup en voyant, regardant.
He studies everything that he sees. He's very analytical in the way he looks at things.
Yes, it's a natural thing.
Uh-huh.
So I see people and I have like a library in my head of people.
are Sean and Julian your models?
They are my muse. I have a lot of muse.
A whole lot of muse, don't you know?
Yes, I love muse. For my comic book, I use a cliche,
uh-huh.
a type of people,
uh-huh.
And I think it's the image of healthy, beauty, young people.
Right. Right, right, right.
So I use this image.
Yeah.
But it's just a game for me.
Yes.
It's not what I like or what I want to be or no.
Right.
It's just an image and I use it because people like that.
Yes.
Yes.
They don't want to see icky old men with balding heads and things like Dr. Dick.
Maybe for some stories.
Yeah, geriatric stories. Those are going to be great.
But in general, that's the image that
yes.
that people use less.
So you don't necessarily use models. You don't find people and then ask them to model for you.
No. Mm. And I always really like the body.
I'll
and,
bet. Me too.
And the anatomy.
Yeah.
And so I can move the body in the drawings
right.
easily.
Yeah,
I can,
and not so much with a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then again, if you worked with models, you would get laid a whole lot more, right?
J'ai pas compris.
Si tu bossais avec les modèles, tu tirais beaucoup plus de couilles.
That's maybe true, yeah. Okay. I see, I need models now. I can put some
some ads in the paper. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Come and model for me and model with benefits.
Thank you.
Leave it to me to put bad thoughts in your head. There you go. So are you seeing any trends in terms of erotic comics? Are they growing in popularity?
I think so now, yeah. Uh-huh. A few years ago, there's not so much comics in the stores. And now there's a lot of artists, young artists, and there's a demand.
Right.
Right.
Actually, so now it's moving.
Yeah. Have you been to the United States?
No, never.
Oh. So they have a thing called Comic-Con. Do you know that?
Yeah, yes, I want to go.
Yes, I'll bet.
Yeah. It's Gigland. I want to go, yeah.
So one of the questions I've been asking previous guests is that they have spoken about their connection with a community of other erotic comic makers. Are you a member of such a community? Do you know Sean Z and Steve McIsaac and, Michael Briette and all of those people?
No.
Oh, you're kidding, really?
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
These are wonderful people that I've already interviewed for this series, and I need to send an introduction out so that they can know you and you can know them. They're wonderful, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I know his work.
Yes, probably you do, yeah.
Because right. I'm not good with the names.
Yeah.
I never remember the names.
the face, right, and the body,
yeah,
and the other
sometimes
parts.
The ass.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So defining erotic art is difficult, since perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. For example, the depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic, but rather simply a symbol of potency and fertility. Do you agree with this assessment?
I think it's changing all the time.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The erotic is changing with the society.
Uh-huh.
So now it's beautiful, like top models are beautiful,
uh-huh.
But a few centuries ago, fat used to be beautiful.
Yes, right.
So it's changing all the time.
Uh-huh.
And probably in 10 years, the beauty or the erotism will be different.
Right, old and fat and balding, right? Yay! I can't wait.
Maybe, I don't know. Why not?
So let's see. A distinction is also often made between erotic art and pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Both depict body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but some people believe there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. What do you think about that?
Yes, I think it's very different.
Uh-huh.
And the big difference for me, it's pornography is more rude.
More, okay, right.
Yeah, and They always show everything.
Uh-huh.
It's very direct and in a very direct way.
Uh-huh.
That's that's the pornography. We want to see everything and we want to see clothes. And the erotism is more subjective. Yeah, and that's most of the time that's more
more
sexy. Yeah.
Yeah, and subtle too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you categorize your artwork as erotic or pornographic, or is it sometimes both?
Sometimes it's erotic, sometimes it's pornographic.
Uh-huh.
It depends. Sometimes in the story I like to put some pornographic,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it's funny, or because
maybe laugh riot.
Yeah, maybe that's helping in the story, because I want to show a rape sequence or something,
uh-huh.
and I use some shots like a pornography.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. So, in your mind, is there a purpose for pornography as opposed to erotic in some instances? Is it for the shock value, or is it for it being more intense, perhaps?
I use it with a purpose every time. It's not for free. I use sometimes erotic poses because in the story I want something very beautiful and sexy or with a lot of love, and I use pornography when I want something really hard or really shocking or.
Right.
It's a different dialogue, different expression.
Excellent. So, what does erotic in art mean to you?
I think people need that.
Uh-huh.
They need to see the comic book or films or read books about love, because I think everybody needs to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And need sex, so that's why there is so much pornography in this society. Mm-hmm. because people need love, need to care about someone and feel something, and I think it's necessary in the society.
Right, so it stimulates people's imaginations, sexy imaginations, yes?
Oh, yes.
Especially your stuff, don't you know?
But I think that's what the people is looking for.
Uh-huh. Mm. So as an artist, I suspect that you create other types of art besides the stuff that might commonly be thought as erotic. Am I right? Do you do other kinds of illustrations? Yes?
Yeah, yes. I work for different clients.
I see.
I made illustrations for different kind of
advertisements.
Yeah, advertisement
right.
for different
right.
kind of things. And
mm-hmm.
I'm also made different kind of comic books. Because people knows me more for the erotic art and gay art, but I'm not just a gay artist.
No, God forbid.
I can do different stories, and I have different stories of science fiction or terror.
Children's books. That's what I was going to ask about. Yeah, because I think I saw some of that on your site. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you're creating all the time then? Yes.
Yes, I think I'm hyperactive.
So you can switch from the erotic to like a children's story to a sci-fi story to a horror story. You can do all of that without shifting gears all that much. I mean, it just kind of flows from you.
Yes, it's a natural in me.
Wow.
I do all the time.
Well, that's amazing. Gosh. So what is it about the erotic art that you create that makes it different from the other work that you do other than the obvious? Obviously, in the erotic art, there's, penises and vaginas and tits and asses and all that kind of stuff. In the children's stories, not so much, probably. But is there anything else? Is there a different mindset, when you're doing your non-erotic stuff?
Wait, I don't understand really.
Quand tu fais tes choses non érotiques, est-ce que tu approches de même façon? Est-ce que tu penses de même façon? Ou est-ce que c'est un différent clic?
No, I think it's every story came for a different feeling,
mm-hmm.
and it's it starts with a different sensation, right. And then I work in the same way for all the stories, but they come from other
different parts of you. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I see. Right. 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 That makes sense. So you said something when we began our conversation today that you said that you are compelled or that your art is a passion for you and that you would be hard-pressed not to be able to do this anymore. What compels you to create it? Why do you need to do this?
That's a good question.
Of course it's a good question. It came out of my head.
You're so good. I don't know. I just need it. If I don't do it, I'm sad.
Ah, and we wouldn't want that.
No. It's a natural thing. I have all the time a little notebook with me, and I have all the time different ideas for a story or for an illustration, and I note that. I make a fast sketch.
Oh, how interesting. Good for you.
Yeah. And
so like a thumbnail kind of thing, just like Michelangelo.
Yeah. So it's necessary for me.
Excellent. Excellent. So our time is just about up for today, and I still have a whole bunch of questions to ask you. Will you be able to come back and visit us next week?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, yeah, I do want. A lot.
That's okay.
So before we go today, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit? And can we buy your work there?
You can buy just in Amazon.
I see.
Just in France.
Just in France. That's a bummer. But maybe they'll come to the United States soon.
Yeah, I try to do it.
Right. And so give us your website address and walk us around. Just tell us what's there.
Okay. So it's www.davidcantero.com.
Uh-huh.
And in the web page you can see a biography of me, and you can see all of my publications, my comics book, and some work, illustration work for different clients.
I see.
And I have a news up.
Yeah, good. Well, wonderful. So until next week, then, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Yes, thank you.
And goodbye, sir.
So we'll see you next week.
Right. Bye now.
Thank you, bye.
A fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with David Quintero and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's how-to video library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find this link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh?
Can I have one more of these with some booze in it, please?
I'll have the same, and make mine a double. I want to take a moment to remind you to check out another great website in the Dr. Dick family of sites. It's my new product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I review all kinds of adult-related goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. And also look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. I wouldn't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.